This is Just Be with Bethany. And today I want to talk to you about regifting, the taboo topic. Everybody regifts. Very rich people regift. Okay. Here's how I feel about regifting. I have definitely given people something that is engraved with my name on it for sure in my life. First of all, I'll do this. I'll buy like a really nice makeup bag and then buy. I have a problem with buying things that I know are good gifts that are really unique or on sale. So I have a problem. I went to this really high-end Christmas store around my house. This happens every year. And I saw all these amazing, like really upscale, really nice high-end snow globes. And they were on sale. So I bought like 20 of them. But the problem is I have like 20 other categories of items that I've bought. So I have like really high-end, nice men's dop kits that I buy also if I see them on sale. And I could buy people like makeup bags or something. I buy it all. And I'm not a hoarder. I'm very organized and I'm always getting rid. But I buy gifts and I buy gifts that go well with other gifts. So my regifting strategy, and I think it's the best strategy, I really do, is to say, let's say someone gave me really nice products, like skincare products. Let's say like Kate Somerville, who I love, gave me something for oily skin or blemish. I don't really break out. So like, or something that's not my category of skincare and I had it. So I would then take one of these really nice makeup bags that I buy and keep just waiting. And then I would put different beauty products in there and then add a candle that I bought on sale, like a nice, I don't know, Jo Malone or those, not really Fornacetti. Those are too expensive. I keep those for myself. I have tons of stuff like this. So I combine and I don't know if that's counted as regifting. It's technically regifting, but no one's ever sent me a pen. Let's say someone sent me a really nice pen. I would then find like a nice journal to go with it and something else that had to do with like writing, you know what I mean? Like good stationery. So I'm a combiner and I believe in it and I love it. I'm not changing it. I spend a lot of money every year on Christmas. I give gifts to everyone. I'm like a poor man's Candy Spelling. I have a gift closet. So anyway, that's a mini rant, but I just wanted to say, I think you can re-gift if you really elevate it with other things that you've actually bought and spent money on. And including really nice card and nice packaging and nice, all of that. That's my strong suit. Today, I'm going to be talking to Kelty Knight and Jack Vanek of the Lady Gang. They have created an amazing brand, which has expanded and evolved through the Lady Gang podcast. They've even written a New York Times bestseller, Act Like a Lady, and this isn't even to mention their own individual successes. Kelty's a correspondent on Entertainment Tonight. Jack has her own clothing and accessories brand. And their third partner, Becca Tobin, is an actress who I love from Glee. I loved talking to Kelty and Jack because they manage a badass three-woman business, which is its own dynamic in and of itself. And I know you're going to love it too. Hey, Jack and Kelty, welcome to the show. Of course, it's Jack and Kelty of the Lady Gang with one gang member not here today. But
Becca sends her regards. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Bethany, before we start, I wanted to tell you that I was talking to your team before. Congratulations on the show.
Oh, thank you.
I was telling them that we listen to the first podcast of everyone that puts out a new podcast, obviously, because that's the game that we're in. And your podcast is the only podcast that I've consistently gone back to this year, like new podcast.
Stop.
Yeah.
The content.
It's so good. It's so concise. There's no fucking fluff. There's no like, I'm just going to sit and like live in like 20 minutes of talking about myself. Like I've learned so much. I've loved so many of the episodes have been incredible. So congrats to you.
I cannot tell you how that makes me feel because I have never listened to a podcast in my life to this day. And because when I wrote my book Naturally Thin years ago, I remember going to different publishers and trying to sell it. And they were like, no, it needs to be like 8 weeks to X pounds lost. And they had all these things that they told me it needed to be. And I said, we're in modern like yoga, be healthy world. Mm-hmm. And then my boyfriend at the time said, you should probably go to school and become a nutritionist. And I said, I'm just a woman who understands what food noise is. So I want to write it from my own fresh perspective. So having never listened to a podcast before, I now just don't want to have any preconceived notions about what it's supposed to be because there are so many. And you were in the beginning, in my opinion. I mean, this to me is new now. You were 5 years ago, right? You started?
it's a little bit over 5 years. Yeah, it's been crazy. And when we started the podcast, we obviously didn't know anything about it. The only podcast that was out there was Serial, pretty much, and then Joe Rogan. So we sort of went into it blind as well. So I think that that really is the secret to success, though. I mean, we did the same thing writing our book. We didn't read any other books that were kind of like ours, except for maybe Kelty. But I think that is just going in it and doing your own thing makes such a difference.
Well, back then, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember meeting somebody, I think Westwood One or somebody in LA, and they told me that the guy, I think he used to be on Dr. Drew or something. He was like a sex guy. He used to talk about sex and that he was making like $10 million a year at that time. Who is that guy? You know what I'm talking about? The tall guy with the dark hair. He's like a Dr. Drew type. It's going to drive me nuts.
Do you know Kelty?
Are you talking about Adam Carolla? No, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Adam Carolla is such an obvious choice. I didn't think it was him.
Yeah. He just signed a $100 million deal with Spotify, like more than the Obamas, more than Prince Harry and Meghan.
Oh, my God. And he started early, though. Did he start earlier than you?
He started before. Yeah. Us. Yeah,
well, they
he
had that already radio been in the show. Game. Yeah, they had the radio show for like ever. And then I think they just transferred into podcasting. But they're
and
like,
he does
the OG.
Content 5 days a week. He's like a Howard Stern.
Yeah.
You know, you like put him on in the morning and you listen to him for 2 hours. We've been on his show before. It's a trip.
And why don't you do that? What's your reason for not doing that every day? I'm so fascinated. I want to hear so much about you guys and the dynamic. But so why are you not doing that?
The truth is we all have other jobs. I work at Entertainment Tonight. Becca is on her new show on Disney, and we all have other passions. And this began, the Lady Gang came out of this frustration that, you know, no one was picking us. We were like at the uncool kids table in Hollywood. So I was like the last person picked. Becca was the last actor picked. I mean, and so we wanted to go to a place where we couldn't get fired. We wanted to have a job where someone actually said yes to us. And so we decided to say yes to ourselves. And that's why we created Lady Gang. We always thought of it as a side hustle. We were like, oh, and maybe if we make some money, it'll be fine, but we'll have something that's ours. And then over the last 5 years, it's become, you know, a multi-million-dollar business and, you know, a tastemaker in the category. And we're like, huh. And so now Jack has stepped away from her clothing line. Becca's just booked this huge show, but you know, we're all kind of like rejiggering our lives so that Lady Gang can be the main focus. But
interesting that you say that, because for me, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know there was a list that I would end up on before it launched. It's not the humble brag. I literally thought I was doing like a lemonade stand and then it popped off and I just was doing it because I just wanted a place to express myself, just a place. I need an outlet. I'm one of those people that I'm not on TV because I just want to be famous. It's because I need a place for the humor, for the ranting, for the expression. And so this was, and my boyfriend at the time was like, you're going to be amazing at this. It's going to be so good. And I didn't even know what it was. And I just started one day and just started talking. I live for it. So I get it. You guys must have been paid $3 a year the first year.
Oh my God.
Must have been paid nothing.
We didn't make actual money until maybe last year. I think the first year we did our podcast, we made negative money. The second year, maybe we made $2,000 the entire year. So
it's
been a lot of a hustle, and we've never missed a single episode. We have 2 episodes a week. We've never missed a single episode in 5 years. And it was just the hustle and the drive, because we knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel and we really believed in what we were doing that got us through, and it really paid off in the end.
Wait, and so is this now, are you guys making real money now?
Oh yeah.
And we're on the Just Me podcast, so I feel like we can say this.
Right.
There is a weird thing with women and money, Bethany. I don't know what that is. And I feel like you are someone that we look to because you've never been afraid to be like, I'm successful. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what that shame is. We are not allowed to be successful. But yes, we are now successful. We have employees.
You're legit.
Yeah.
And you're started from the bottom. Now you're here. Did you guys have debt? Did you like get insufficient fund notices? Like, what was your situation individually?
We all started with no debt. The best thing that happened, well, the best worst thing that happened in the beginning of the podcast is we actually started with a different name, and Kelty and Becca kind of started this idea of the podcast before I came in, and the name was, we call it Voldemort, but it was Fempire. And when we started the podcast, we didn't realize that the name was already trademarked. So we started our podcast with this whole different name. The lady with the trademark came after us, and we almost dropped and almost went into debt a lot of money trying to buy this trademark off of her. But thank God it didn't work out. And we changed our name and kind of started from zero, which is way better than starting from a negative point of view.
Right.
I can remember like, well, I could take $30,000 out of my savings and we could buy the trip. Because the show was an instant hit. I mean, we had listeners day one, like first episode, we came to it. So we knew it was something. We're like, maybe I could just, we could each put in 10 grand and we could buy this trip. We'll keep going. And like, I mean, it was just dismal. And at the time, Bethany, that we started, it's not like it was an hour podcast where a brand, say, you know, Skinny Girl is looking and they like, all right, they have $5 million for marketing budget a year. Where are we going to spend that money? All right, we're going to do this much TV. We're going to do this much of that. And we're going to do podcasts. Like no one was advertising on podcasts.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult to make money, especially because there was no female shows. So there was a lot of like dude brands that were doing podcasts for advertising, but there weren't the, you know, female centric brands that
Because then also there were no female listeners.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the moms that listen to mine now, they've never ever
listened to
a podcast in their life. I would be that person. Right. Like, I'm them. I understand them. Yeah. They're like the people that watch me on HSN. They're just like, how do I do this? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Yeah. Ask your kid.
Like, I'm figuring out the same thing as you.
I don't fucking know how to do it. I don't even know what we're doing. But how does the dynamic work with three now? I mean, my daughter often, when there's a three person play date, it's more challenging than two. Mm. So is there a power struggle? What are the arguments? Are you guys really good friends and do you vacation together? Or is this just are you colleagues that respect each other? What's the dynamic individually?
I think the coolest thing about our podcast and our relationship with each other, we went into it. Kelty and I were acquaintances and we share a mutual ex-boyfriend. I dated him first. She took my sloppy seconds.
Then she went back to him after. Gross.
I hooked up with him after.
You went back in?
Mm-hmm. I hooked up. I never go back to an ex. We had one night and I actually thought it was when Kelty was still dating him, but we figured out it wasn't. So that's how we know each other. And then Becca and I had never met until we took our first meeting at Podcast One, which is the network that we're on. So we kind of went into this as business partners first, and we've learned about each other through the podcast. So it's really interesting because our listeners are kind of going along with the ride with us as we make inside jokes with each other and we learn different things about each other. So it's really cool. I mean, we don't really hang out outside of work. I think Kelty and I are maybe trying to plan a trip together, but who knows if it'll
ever
work.
It's a work
out.
Trip, Bethany. It's a but work it, trip.
I got it.
I need to go get Jack focused. So I'm taking her away.
Maybe we can go with our partners. Kelty's like, no, it's a work trip.
Wait, so what relationships are you all in?
Kelty and Becca are married. And then I have been with my boyfriend for almost 3 years. We're going to get married and stuff, but all in serious relationships.
So you'll have more things to talk. Does anybody have kids?
Not yet.
No kids. We're in the stage of our lives where everyone's struggling with fertility.
Yeah, I just...
Everyone's actually struggling with it?
Yeah, we've had... Jack just froze her embryos and Becca and I both had miscarriages and, you know, yeah. So we're in that stage right now.
We're in the 30s.
We're deep in 30s, so...
That's very interesting that you're going through that too. Like, you know what I mean? You've been through being sort of single on the show.
And
then getting married and then now, you mm-hmm. know, the fertility issue that's...
My ride on the podcast has been really good because I was single when we started. I entered a relationship with a psychopath for a while, and then I was single again. So my dating stories on the podcast through the years have been pretty amazing.
It's incredible.
Oh, I bet. Okay, so you have separate side hustles, each of you. Like you don't, all the other businesses you're not in together. You have some things that you're all in together, and then other businesses that you're not in. And who drives that whole thing? Who's sort of the CEO?
Kelty.
I'm the CEO. We have our own name for it. It's called K-Type. It's like A-Type, but for Kelty, K-Type.
Okay.
She's
so
very
I'm a three Enneagram. I'm the Bethany.
What does that mean? Three Enneagram. What does that
you
even
have to
mean?
Take the Enneagram.
Oh, the Enneagram you have to take. Well, we already know she's a three, but it's a personality test. You can be a one to a nine and everyone has a different test. And like me and Becca, we're both threes. So we're achievers. Jack is like an enthusiast. So she always wants to be like on the beach, at the party, at the bungalow, like doing whatever. And so we have to keep her a little bit focused. So we drive forward and it kind of works like this. Becca comes up with a big idea. Let's start a podcast. You know what would be so great to get on? Bethany Frankel. All right, let's ask her for like 4 years. You know what I mean? To get her on the podcast. And then we just work away at that little goal until it comes true. And they all magically come true if you work hard enough. And then I'm the doer. So I'm the one who's like, okay, how are we going to do this? Let me find the publicist. Blah, 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 blah. And Jack is a creative genius. She has her own Jack Vanek line that's sold in stores, you know, around the world. And so she designs the look of the brand, the branding, the labels, the, you know, we just did these awesome sweatsuits, and the care, the little care tag on like how you wash it is like, be nice to yourself, eat carbs, you know, like it's just every detail of what we do is so cool. And so that's kind of how our little trio works.
I mean, it sounds like the ultimate legitimate and not touchy-feely saccharine-y female empowerment. There has to be, there's no rub, there's no like, there's really no rub here. Like, you guys really just all work this out together. This is stunning to me. There's no way that I could be like in business with two women on the day-to-day in all aspects of things. I mean, I just find it, that's why you're so successful. I mean, I think that's like amazing and inspirational in and of itself.
It is so insane because we do work so well together and we each have our separate talents and we know how to stay in our own lanes. I think that that's the biggest thing is none of us are kind of stepping over each other. Like Kelty's not telling me what font to use for something that I'm designing. I'm not telling Kelty how to do a rundown for the podcast. We all know what we do well and we stick to what we do and have our blinders on. So I think that that's the biggest thing. And we've never talked about how we'd handle conflict, but somehow we handle conflict really, really well with each other and are very honest. And I think that that's just kind of what gets us through.
Yeah, the honesty is it. It's what it's at. There's no bullshit.
Also, the success, the stakes are too high. It has to work. It's like a serious, committed relationship. The stakes are too high. It's too important. It has to work. So there's no, failure is not an option, you know? And it sounds like know what you know and know what you don't know. And I think that's a big, big failure in many, many businesses. You see it in fashion. Mm. Fashion designers all of a sudden think that they're business people also because they can design something. That does not mean that you're a good business person. You know, I know exactly what I know and I know what I don't know. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, having good partners, good teams. And it's also liberating to know what you don't know. Then you don't have to deal with that thing. Like, that's not your thing.
Bethany, can I ask you a question? I know this is your podcast, but can I ask you a question? Okay.
Yeah.
You said when I'm making money, I'm making money. And when I'm doing philanthropy, I'm doing philanthropy. And how do you think as like a female facing business, you know, you're saying how you separate the two, because the thing that we're coming up to now is that every time we do anything like our clothing line or whatever, we have always done like a charity aspect. You know what I mean? Where it's like, 10% to this. Yeah, portion of the proceeds is going here. And we're like so happy to do that and have the, you know, people who are doing that work on the podcast.
I'm not into it.
You're not?
No, because it's still going to be like those stores and these like socialite women that are like, come to the store on, you know, Madison Avenue or come to the shopping event and we're giving 15% to the proceeds. Mm. And I'm like, but that stuff could be 50% off half the time anyway. And like, I don't think anybody really notices unless it's like, Tom's did it great where it's like one shoe for one shoe. It's very literal. You understand it. I think you should just make all the money and then decide to do the charity separately. I really do because I don't believe it.
Yeah. Like, it's like an afterthought for some of these people or an excuse.
Well, it's been an issue because in the fall we launched our clothing line and we didn't have a charity aspect because we were like really in it with our own money. And we're like, we need to make money. We need to pay employees. We need insurance. Like we need all this stuff.
Right.
But then all year we did, you know, COVID boxes to first responders, teacher boxes to teachers working from home just for free, like stuff we got, you know, we used that money that we made off that thing to do that. But then people came to us and they're like, I'm only buying things that have a charity aspect.
I have never heard that. There's enough people. I've never heard that. I do not have a charity aspect to Skinny Girl, but I do plenty of charity.
Yeah.
So maybe you should just get your charity imprint more public so then you're not being asked. You know, no one's confused by the fact that I'm a capitalist, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm also a philanthropist. So you can be both. But I don't, just for me personally, when I see 15% goes to blah, 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 I don't even pay attention.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is such an afterthought to so many things and so many people don't notice it. So you're good, not that your good deed is going unnoticed, but it's not getting the attention that it deserves, I think, when you do separate it.
No, and you might be able to make a bigger impact by like making all the money on the clothes and then doing, you
something
know,
else, yeah.
something major. Yeah, it's sort of piecemeal, in my opinion. It's just the way that I see it. I've never once bought something because a percentage goes to charity. Mm-hmm. Never once. I've donated to charity, but I've never once done that.
Interesting.
So if, whatever that's worth. I'm curious. I'll ask my listeners to write
please.
In and tell me what they think about that. Then I'll get back to you because, listen, I'm only one person, but that's what I really... How much was the percentage you were giving, by the way?
How much was
it? It depended. We've had a bunch of things, but it's between like 10, 20, 25%, you know? So it's like,
I mean, you can get 40% off of something right. in general, like in your mind. You're thinking, wait, am I now paying full price because I'm now giving 25% to charity? Right. So I'd rather get that. There's a lot of different psychological things that I would think about that. The truth of the matter is 100% of Be Strong money goes to philanthropy. And we've, it's been $77 million in 3 years. So it's still building a brand in philanthropy. It's not that I don't want people to know that information. I do want them to know it. And just like a business, I want it to be street cred. So you have to be strategic about your philanthropy as much as you are your business, because you want to be successful at it. You want to have it, you know, people want an ROI. If they're going to donate to your charitable causes, they want to know exactly where money's going, how it's being used. And that's an ROI for them. It's no different than them investing in, you know, their money in Merrill Lynch.
So true.
God, she's just the goat.
Damn.
Damn, Bethany.
So everything is your business, even if it's philanthropy. Not that you're making money on it, but you know what I mean. Do you feel like it's a Lady Gang is a brand? Do you feel like it is an actual brand? Because it's an overused word. So I'm asking if you really think that it, you know exactly what its brand identity is. You could explain it in an elevator. Do you feel that you've built a brand?
Absolutely. We were actually talking about this the other day because we were having a meeting of what 2021 is going to be, what things we're going to put out. And I remember having the conversation where we're like, we could put out a hair care line, a makeup line, anything out there. And we know exactly what the product would look like because we have such a strong brand identity from doing all these different things and kind of finding it along the way. Because when we started the podcast, we really had no idea what the brand would be. And we found it just through living the brand itself, which I think is a really cool thing. Because it's so genuine.
We have such an amazing community. And I think that's the single most important thing in our brand is that we have worldwide community. Like our girls, I mean, I lent my wedding dress to one of our girls. We have celebrated marriages and deaths and job promotions. And we have like, we know our girls, you know, and we have a real-
It's funny that you say girls. What's the demo?
The thing about the demo that's so funny, I mean, the demo is mostly, you know, probably 25 to 35 working women, but we have, and I don't know why teenagers are listening to our podcast, but we have teenagers up to grandmas that listen to our podcast. And those are the people that come to the show when we do live shows. And it's so fun because there are ladies all around the world that listen to the podcast. But what Kelty was talking about is we have like a Facebook group full of 35,000 women, and we pull them for everything that we do, whether it's the clothing line that we're making, guests that we're having on the podcast. So Lady Gang is so much more than the three of us. Lady Gang is women around the entire world. And we really do take their voices into consideration with everything that we do. And I think that that's what puts us in a different world than a lot of these other female podcasts out there, because they're so centric and ours is just very open to everyone.
Yes. It's like a universe and it is a gang, which I love. It's that's interesting. Do you want to sell this brand?
Kelsey.
I mean, I do. And here's where it's an interesting business conversation. I think that we have been inspired by people that have come before us and now are inspiring people that say, I want to start a podcast. I want to start a brand. And it's amazing. Like, right? We've put in the 5 years. Here we are. And we have been able to crowdsource or figure out or have mentors and figure out everything until now. And 2021 is the cusp of like where the fear kicks in, because now this is bigger than any of our abilities. Like this is into the next level where you almost need to like bring someone on who really knows what they're talking about, because we have it all and we've been doing it all ourselves. And that's what's scary. And it's like, of course, I'd like to sell it. And of course, there's all these different avenues that I'd like to go in. And we're always thinking like we have, I was just at this like event retreat thing. And this woman said to me, you have all this data on your girl. And I was like, yeah, we know everything about them. And she's like, this is a $1 billion brand. And I was like, what? Like, it scared the shit out of me. Cause I was just like, I know that in my soul that it is, but like, how do you get there? Oh my God, it's terrifying.
Yeah. If you were to do that, it has to be someone who really has institutional knowledge. It can't just be, it can't be just the money. Yeah. Someone has to come in and take a piece, but understand how to run a living, breathing brand like this. I fully get it. I own 100% of Skinny Girl, which is crazy anyway, because it was already sold, but that was, I only let them take the cocktail portion. And now I'm going back into cocktails in a different brand, but to own 100% of it, you know, I'm building it to a certain point, and then I'm going to either cash out the whole thing or take a piece of money to blow it to the next level, which I'm not even sure that I need. That's the other thing.
Right.
And, you know, when I asked Mark Cuban, do I take private equity money? He's like, what do you need the money for? I'm like, nothing. I don't really need the money. Like, he's like, then why would you do it? And why would you sell it? Does it make you a lot of money every year? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. So that's one opinion. Other people are like, take a pile of cash, have someone get involved and still have a big piece of it. I mean, there are so many decisions to be made in business. You just have to really decide ahead of time what you really would spend the money on. And you're going to get a little diluted, not just financially, but like in what you're doing. Yeah. Someone's going to not think. The one piece of advice I would say to you is have fewer buckets full than like saying yes to everything and having buckets sort of a third full. Like time, you guys are still young, but time is more valuable than money. But like the little dribs and drabs in between, that's the time suck. That's the equivalent of being like on your phone looking at online shopping.
I love that you said that.
We just literally had this conversation.
It's the year of no, Bethany. It's the year of no.
It is.
Because we
so
were
funny.
Like, we'll say yes to every little podcast, every girl that's coming up that wants us on the show. We'll do every little $10,000 deal. And we're like, this is the year of no.
100%.
If this is not a sign that we need to double down on that, Kelsey, I don't know what is. That
oh
is
my
so
God.
Crazy.
Let's get this and this, have this like play every morning on Alexa when we wake up.
I know.
Bethany saying that is our new alarm clock.
It totally is. Oh my gosh, you're speaking to our souls.
Fill the buckets. So it sounds like you girls are making incredible choices. You've created a real success that's going to go all the way and you'll take it into the end zone. And I have adored this conversation.
Oh, thanks for having us. This literally is a dream.
It's a dream, Bethany. And you know, you are such an inspiration to so many young entrepreneurial women because you're very, you're outspoken about being successful. And
yeah.
So few women are. And it's been nice to like be a trailblazer almost in your wake because it's been really easier to be strong-willed in our needs, decisions, and confidence because of people like you.
Yeah.
So we talk about you and the things that you've done a lot of even before we had met.
Oh my God. So thank you so much. And I hope we get to talk again soon.
Congrats, Bethany. Thank you for
having
us.
Congrats on everything. Thank you so much.
You too. Congrats on everything. Have a good day. That was such a great conversation. It's the first time I've spoken to two women. I am absolutely fascinated and impressed by a group of three women in their 30s. Working together on the day in, day out on a brand, decision-making, different personalities. That is honestly something to be admired. That is a skill set. That is like a management tool. People would have to go to seminars to figure out how to do that. I mean, marriages between couples don't work. I mean, three people with equal shares of a business and a brand working together with totally different skill sets is fascinating and something to be admired and to be looked at. And that should be a book that they should write on that alone, not just on their whole culture, but they should write a book on that work dynamic. I'm very impressed. And by the way, it brings to mind that you have to know your personality type. Many people, and it sounds like they need to work with others. They need to bounce things off each other. They want to have somebody else to support. And that's a style. It's not the corporate style I talk about where people want to be part of an infrastructure and a hierarchy and can still be utterly successful and mavericks and moguls, or a person like me who really likes to have a good team around them, but I like to fly solo. I mean, I need my Tom Brady and I need my team, but I like to be the Belichick, you know, running the show and calling the shots and just making the ultimate decision. So I find that to be amazing and fascinating. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. Just Be with Bethany. I'm loving this so much and I can't wait to talk again.
Just Be is hosted by me, Bethany Frankel. Our managing producer is Fiona Smith, and our producer is Stephanie Stender. Sarah Katnack is our assistant producer, and our development executive is Nayantara Roy. Just Be is a production of Be Real Productions and Endeavor Content. This episode was mixed by Sam Baer. To catch more moments from the show, follow us on Instagram at Just Be with Bethany.